Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Meseches Neda Daf Chaf Beis. We are 8 lines off the top of the Yomit. Here comes an interesting question posed by Rabbo to Rav Huna. Bo'amine, Rabbo me Rav Huna. Haroya Keri. A person experiences an emission of carry material, bekesam. It didn't come, you know, out naturally. It didn't flow out. It was extracted with a little spindle, some sort of instrument, which extracted that material. Ma, what's its status? Shall we say, mimenu? The pasuk refers to this experience as the carry leaving him, mimenu, amrachmano. So does the pasuk say. Perhaps it means adenafik. Mibsari, v'loy b'kesem, until it leaves his basar, naturally, as opposed to being extracted with some sort of external, you know, force. Oidilma, on the other hand, hai mimeno, perhaps the word mimeno, is just saying that it has to actually depart from the person, as opposed to what we learned yesterday by dam nida. Even if it's still within, if it's on its way out, it's also counted. But here, acha teitzei tumasai l'chutz, unless it leaves him. So it has to be out. But the means of extraction isn't really pertinent. Even with a kesem, Amrleis, he says. Skip this. Let's put aside this consideration. What about the volume? There isn't enough volume there to affect him. Amrleis, tepuklei. Look, either way, you're lacking because the hu atzmo ye'enu metame. The fact is that any person in this situation will only be tamei, ella unless there is sufficient material that's going to fill the chasima, that fills the piyama, the opening of the yama of the yaver, which in this case you don't have, because when they inserted the kesem, it takes up some space. It's not going to allow a full shiur of the carry to come out. So that in itself should discount the whole experience. Now the Gemara is going to make a sort of a side point on this discussion. The very fact that we have, you see, by dam nida, there's no shiur, right? Even a droplet, we spoke about tipa kachardol, like a mustard seed, even a droplet, because it's a personal experience, it's a self-generated tumah, even a droplet sufficient. As opposed to the types of tumah which are more the transmitting type, you touch a nevela, you touch a sheret, it needs to be a minimum amount of material to have the, you know, the power to convey that tumah to you. The very fact that we're even speaking about a minimum threshold in terms of volume, chasimas piyam, doesn't that indicate to us, lemeim, do you mean to say the negeya havi, that the tumah is on account of contact, which would substantiate a minimum requirement? Meaning, why isn't a droplet sufficient? Why do you need a certain amount of carry to mitame the person? Apparently because it needs to get conveyed through, has to be transmitted from that by way of contact with something that has significance. Elamiyat, if that's the case, that is classified as a type of tumah of negeya, as opposed to more like the nida type, where it's called roya, it's just an experience, it's not actual transmission from something. El miyat, if that's the case, that it's a negeya, so it's really different than ri'iya of dam nida by Isha, different than the ri'iya of the ziva material, which is a different type of material, which is metame a man, where it's not about conveying or transmitting, it's about experiencing it, by generating it. You're telling me that carry is in a different class. It's more of a transmitted tumor. Elamiyat, if that's the case, al yistur b'ziva, why would it disrupt the 7 clean day ziva count? The fellow had ziva 3 days in a row, 2 days, 3 days in a row, he has to count 7 clean days. And if he has any disruption, any emission during those, it cancels out the system, he has to restart his count. That's true if he has ziva during those 7 days. But why would carry, which is a different material, why would it interfere? He hasn't really experienced. He just touched something. Alamatanya, But we have a brisa that it will interfere. It will disrupt his 7 clean day count. So he says, Azov, Vasher Teitzim Menu Shechva Zera. So the pasuk compares Ziva to Zera. Ma Ziva Seisera, just like if he experiences Ziva during those 7 days, it cancels Av Shechva Zera Nami there as well. Seisera. Amalei, he says, you're right. The disruption is not due to the Zera per se. It's just that it's inevitable that within the Zera there'll be droplets of Ziva, because after all, he's within the Ziva, you know, period now. Regarding disruption, I'll tell you why it sets him back. It's impossible to have this carry coming out of this person who's now a Zav without bringing along elements of Ziva. So that's why. Because he's experiencing Ziva during those 7 allegedly clean days. It's not clean anymore, so it cancels. Says the Gemara, well, then let's swing the pendulum the other way. We know that a Zav who experiences actual Ziva during the 7-day count, there goes the 7 days. He could be holding him at the last minute of day 7. Cancels everything. Elamiyata, so if that's the case, that experiencing Keri / Zera, which tags along a little bit of the Ziva, that explains why it's Saiser. Let it be Saiser the full 7 days. Elamiyata, Tistical Zayin. And we know it's not so. It only has a very limited disruption power. Alamatanya, we have a brisa, Zoyster Asazav. Then it says, Vashatesi Menashe Chazer Latama Ba. So first we say, yeah, Zera can have a similar effect to Ziva regarding canceling the count. Ma Ziva is Zoyster Asaf, likewise, Chazer Zoyster. But to what extent? Shall we match them up completely? So perhaps just like Ziva will disrupt all 7 days. If he has Ziva on day 7, yes, it's not over. There are two. The pasuk continues with Tama Ba. Experiencing Zera during the Shiva Nekiyim will have impact, but only to the extent that Zera in general can be Matame a person, which is only a 1 day. A person has Zera out of the blue, it becomes a Valkyrie for that day only. Ein lecha ba, you only have within it Elam HaShomer ba, only to the extent of the Tumah power of Zera. So Zera is Yemechad, and therefore it only cancels 1 day. So the question is, how do we work this out? Either all or nothing. If Ziva cancels all 7 and Zera / Keri has a similar status, why not similar effect? Or at least he says Xeris HaKosafi. Right, the question was if Zera has similar status because it contains Ziva within it. Tzichzucha Ziva, so then it's just like Ziva. Cancel all 7. If it has no Ziva with it, then cancel nothing. How do you get to this 1 day cancellation? Amalisi says, you're right. Logically, you have a good point, but it's Xeris HaKosafi, it's established by the Torah. And then in fact, we classify it as something new. Ziva Gemura. If fellow experiences pure Ziva without any Zera mixed in, that has a full cancellation effect. So Zera is called Shiva. But Zachsuche Ziva, Dalva Shiva Zera, but droplets of Ziva mixed with Shiva Zera, it's not a pure form Ziva, although it does disrupt, but only in a limited 1 day manner. Okay, so we start with an interesting question. We know that Damnida, even a droplet, is Metame. Ziva as well. What about Keri? Keri has a shear, Chasim Espiya Amo. And the question was posed, what about if it's extracted with a Kisam? We weren't really sure about that. Except that, practically, it didn't seem to be relevant because it's going to diminish from the shiur. But in any case, that got us to that other topic of whether it's soiser. We know that during the Shiva Nekiyim, Ziva is soiser. The question is, what will Zera do? Well, if we prove that it's a type of tumor which conveys through transmission, through Negia, so why would it be soiser? Not considered an experience, a personal experience that would disrupt the Shiva Nekiyim. Gemara came out because it has within it elements of Ziva. So it has a similar disruption effect like Ziva does, but not to the same extent. It's only Yom Echad. New question. Let's shift back to the woman. The woman who had dam, she's a nida. What if it's dried dam? Does it count? Shall we say ki yizev zayv dam? Amrachman. The pasuk speaks about a flow of dam. Ad made of daivan until it's a flowing entry. Daivle. That counts. Lach in. If it's wet, liquid form, yeah. Yavashle, but not in dry form. I didn't. Or you can say hi. If they're dumb, all of the pasuk does relate to a flow. That's because typically it's a flow, but it's not necessarily ruling out otherwise. Urcha de mulsi, loyla, and certainly I feel yavish nam, even dry would work. I'm like tanesua. We have a mishnah that works. Damanida, oops, arames, metam and lachem. The mishnah says damanida and the basar arames can be metami whether it's fresh or dry. So we see that damanida dry is considered damanida. Amalei says, of course, there it dried later. We're talking that it came out in dry form, in solid form. Amalei lach was initially lach, and then it became dry. And Yavash, there's no question, of course, it retained its tum lekum and boili. Keep him boili. My question was Yavash miyikar. Initially, it came out dry. Oh, says the Gemara Namitani Sua. We have that too. Discussed in the Mishnah yesterday. On Pelas kamin klipa, kamin saara, kamin afar, min chush nadumin, tatalamai. Okay, so she shed this material, klipa. Looks like some sort of scab. Sa'ara, a hair, off our soil, of chush nadum, of fleas. So you soak it in water and see if it dissolves into the red material. Then you know it's blood, it's metame, im. We turn tame base. Mamay chush, tmeya. Says Rashi on top, the damu. That confirms that it's dam. Alma. Clearly we see, Ava gavdi chichazise yavish, haikav, even the whole. She experienced it as dry material. Still qualifying that meat. Says the Gemara Yachi, well, if that's the case, so why bother melting it? Even it didn't dissolve. It's still qualifying damnida, even in its dry form. Amar Rabba, I'll tell you why you have to go through this test. Because if you haven't seen it dissolve, breathe with me, answer me. True. Theoretically, you don't have to dissolve it. But you have to take it through the experiment to confirm that in fact it's liquefied dam, because if it resists dissolution, then you know it's its own entity. It's a scab or something which doesn't qualify. But he answers me. Says the Gemara, is this even practical? Does this ever even happen? And yeah, here comes a story. In fact, two stories. I'll tell you about Bryce. Amar Belazar, Rabbi Tzadik. Shnei Masim, the two incidents that my father experienced, and he, you know, presented to the Chachamim as a shayla that was brought to him. Shnei Masim Hela Abba, my father brought up. So he relayed the story that happened to the Chachamim in Yavne. So he came and he brought it me Tivin to Yavne. Masa, first story, Bisha Shaisam Apelis Kmin Klipis Adumois, an Isha who was discharging these reddish, these red klipois, these scabs. Ubalu, Ubo Vishalus, Abba, and they came to ask my father. My father wasn't sure, so he went to the Chachamim. Abba Shal Chachamim, who first needed to verify the medical side of it, and they asked the doctors. Abba Shal Chachamim, Shal Raven, Vamra, they told him, Bramalahem, we'll tell you where it's from. Isha Zu Maka. Yeshla Batechmaya. This woman has some sort of internal wound, which is shedding these scabs. Shemimena, from that wound, Mapelas Kmin Klipos. Tatilamai. Okay, so the only way to test it is make an experiment. Soak it in water. Imne Maichu. If they'll dissolve, then we know it's just blood, it's mea. But otherwise, then it's a scab, which doesn't have status of blood. Shuv Masa, Bisha. There's another story of an Isha. Shaisam Apelos Kminseris Adumais. She was shedding these hair-like, reddish substances. And again, she came to my father, who went to the Chacham, went to the doctors. Ba v'shalo as Abba v'Abba shalo Chacham v'Chacham the Reif v'Amun Lahem. They told him, yeah, Shuma Yeshal Techmiyah. She has this wart of some sort that's producing these reddish hair-like entities. Shuma Yeshal Techmiyah. She menu and peliskim saras adumas. So you have to give an experiment. Ptata lamayim. Let her throw into water and see what happens. Moichot tmeya dissolves, and we know it's damnida. Amrei Shlakish. What type of water temperature are we talking about that can provide a proper lab setting? Uber patient. It needs to be lukewarm, because if you soak it in water which is too cold, it isn't necessarily going to dissolve. It's not going to present as a fair test. Tanya, how do you find the same in the price? So that it has to be lukewarm. Tata lamayim uber patient. Rabban Shimon le Leimer, no need to soak it. Actually, soaking does not really say it the way it is. You have to scrape it. I'll give it on the nail. So, memachose shall scrape it down, crush it, using saliva. I'll give it on her nail. If it comes apart, dissolves, then we know that it's done. Even though it would not dissolve simply by just dunking it into water. You need to apply pressure for it to be a true test. My binayu, what's the point of difference between the two opinions? Amaravina, whether dissolution through pressure indicates dam. Amaravina, miuch al diat chakik binayu. That's the machlekes here. Tanakama says, well, if it liquefies on its own, that's done, but if it's pressure that does it, that's not an indication of done. Whereas according to Rabban Shimon Gamliel, even by way of nimoyach, of pressure, miuch, will also be done. So that's the only way to make a true test. Crush it and see what happens. Hosam Tanan. Now we have a Mishnah later on now in Masechta regarding Tuma generating materials like the sherets and the vela. All these are only metame when they're lach, when they're fresh, containing moisture, but they're not metame when they're fully dried up and moisture free. So you find a piece of a nevela. How do we know whether it has any moisture content? So you have to soak it in water for how long? How long do you soak it in the lukewarm water, the patient may last 24 hours. The question is, by an hour discussion regarding these solid, reddish materials, we do a soak. How long of a soak? Hachamai. Is it 24 hours or less? Mi ba'ina, do we need mace lace to give us a true, indication of what it is? Eloi, or perhaps you don't need that long. Rashi says a day or a night, and that will provide ample time for it to dissolve. And if it doesn't dissolve, it's not done either. Shall we say, what's the difference? I mean, why would this be different than over there? Well, you can say sherets and nevela d'akushi, those materials which are more harder, so it needs more to soften and dissolve. D'akushi, b'inemes leis, there, it's not going to dissolve, but it's going to fill with moisture and return to its fresh state. Since it's dakushi, it's more hard of material, being on mace lace, we need 24 hours to achieve that result of a dam de rochech loy, but blood, which is, to begin with, a softer type of entity, perhaps even a shorter soak would do the job. Oidilma or loishno, maybe there's no difference. It's a standard 24-hour soak, for whatever it is, take it, leave it unresolved. Pellets come in dock. Okay, so back to the Mishnah. A woman was mapel, she miscarried, she discharged something with a dug, a fish-like appearance, not a very human-looking entity. The Mishnah says, that's not considered a valid vlad, that's not a legal birth, it's not a leida, she's not metame tumas leida. And this is in contrast to the beginning of the Mishnah, where we had a machlekes. by a similar case, on Palaschat Ticha, she sheds this glob, this solid mass, where all the Chacham say, not only is it not a Leda, but there's no Tumas Nida either, even though it's, even despite its redness, it's a glob, it's not Dam. Abuda disagrees. He says, she's Tamei Tumas Nida. We have two ways to explain. We had the Shmuel's approach, that it's all a matter of color, meaning if it's a qualifying red, then we say, well, this is really Dam Nida in its congealed form, so she's Tamei Tumas Nida on account of the Dam that she had experienced. Whereas Chacham say, no, it's a Chaticha, it's a new entity, it's too advanced to be considered Dam. That was one way to understand the Machlekes. Another way, which was presented by in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, all agree the Chaticha doesn't qualify as Dam Nida. Question is, whether shall we assume there was real Dam accompanying this sort of miscarriage birth experience? It's called Psichas HaKevi, opening of the womb. Is it possible without Dam or not? Chacham say it's possible, so who says she had any Dam? So she's not Tamei. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's impossible to have a Psichas HaKevi with no Dam. So inevitably there was Dam Nida and she's Tamei. So now it begs the question. So in the next story, she was Maplikim and Dagim. Why not the same Achlekes? It was an opening of the system, and why not have the same Shitas? Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda take issue with this as well? Fine, it's not a Leda, but let it be Tumas Neda for the reasons we mentioned. Amr Ishlag, is she right? The Mishnah is just not repeating it, but of course it's subject to the same Achlekes. Machlekes Shnoi is presented based on the same Achlekes. Rabbani, this is Rabbani speaking in the Mishnah. But of course Rabbi Yehuda would consider her Tamei. Rabbi Yechon Amar says no. Afilu Tamei Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree in this case that she's not Tamei. Adkan Lekom Rabbi Yehuda Hossam. It's only there by the Chaticha where Rabbi Yehuda considers her Tamei, because he considers that in itself as a Dam Nida in its new form, Hossam. Elegah Bechaticha, by Chaticha, the Obedam, the courage, because it's regular for blood to congeal. So we looked at it as a congealed entity of Dam Nida, Bechaticha. So the Dam could turn into Chaticha and it's still considered in the status of Dam. Aval Briyali Havi, but nobody would suggest that blood can sort of congeal into this fish-like looking entity. This is too far developed to be considered just congealed Dam. Aval Briyali Havi, so in this case, even Rabbi agrees, look, there's no Leida and there's no Nida. Now, this is Rabbi Yochanan. Hold it, Rabbi Yochanan himself told us back by that Mishnah that the issue is not related to the question of whether we consider the Chaticha to be congealed Dam or no entity. Rather, the issue is, do we say Psichas HaKever automatically generates Dam? So that seems to be inconsistent with the local quote of Rabbi Yochanan here. According to the other version of Rabbi Yochanan over there, there is whether or not you can have a psichas hakever without dam, and Rabbi Yehuda says impossible. If there's any sort of birth-like experience, we assume there's dam there. So whether it's a chaticha, whether it's fish, whether it's a goat, it doesn't matter. So why wouldn't Rabbi Yehuda take issue with this as well? Even if she discharged something which looks like a fish, fine, that doesn't count. We could discount the actual dam, but there's dam alongside it. You're right, says there are two versions of Rabbi Yechon, two ways to understand. Man de masni hach, lishna masni hachi. So the one who presented that version of Rabbi Yechon over there, which is inconsistent with today's version, masni hachi. So he had a different version over here as well, that in fact Rabbi Yechon was in full agreement with Rish Lakish here, that in fact it's subject to machlekes. Because it's no difference whether it's a chaticha or it's a kmin dagim. Because the biggest point is, it's impossible to have psicha sakeva without dam, irrespective of the formation, the tzura of what happened, of the shedded material. Rabbi Yechon and Shlokesh Damatabai, they both concur. That when we say kmin dagim, she's fully tar, that's subject to machlekes. Because Rabbi Yehuda would consistently consider her tamei, because you have psicha sakeva, you have dam. Okay, so again, we have the first story about Pelas Haticha, which is subject to Machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda says Tami, Chacham say Tar. We have two ways to understand. Rabbi Yehuda says Tami because that Haticha is like a new version of Dam, to which Rabban disagree. And in that sense, he would agree that Kmin Dagan certainly does not qualify as congealed Dam, and he would be Matahir. Approach number two was, when you have a psicha hakever, Rabbi Yehuda says automatically this dam, in which case it would apply equally to chaticha and to dog. Okay, next in line is apelas kmi behema. Mishnah says you should mapel something which looks more developed, more advanced, like a behema, like a chay, like a oif. Here we have an interesting machlekes. Chachom say it's not a leida, it's not subject to the tumas leida. Whereas Rameir says, although by dogma I agree, but by behema, chay, v'oif, she's fully subject to tumas leida. The question is, what's the difference? Amar v'yidomash, my time with Rameir, why do we qualify something which looks like behema? Because the Torah grants it special status in the way it describes how it was created, using similar terminology as human creation. Apparently it denotes, you know, more advancement and more complexity, so it has that halachic status as well regarding triggering tumas leida for a woman who experienced this type of form. Just like by the Adam, it says Vayitzer Hashem Lakim is Adam Avram Adamo. We have Yitzira, which in a way is more advanced than Bria. Bria is the initial, right? Yesh Ma'ayin, something from nothing. It's the initial phase of creation. Then it gets more complex, more advanced. Vayitzer was more detailed, more formed, more advanced, more developed. And we find likewise by the behemoths, we have Vayitzer, Hashem Lekim, Min Adamo, Kol Chayu Asasod, Kol Eif Hashem, Kol Eif Hashemayim. So by the behemoth Chayu Vayif, we find a similar Lashon of Vayitzer. So we match it up to the Adam to give it similar status. Hoyle V'nem Vayitzer Kodam. On the Adam, that's the case. If you're matching it to the Adam, I'm Pelas Tumas Tanah Tanin. So why does the Mishnah say if something looks like a fish creature, a sea creature, she's exempt? Why? This tannin, this super-sized whale or whatever, we find has an interesting term attached to it. The pasuk uses the word vayivra, which is similar to the lashon of vayivra we find by Adam as well. By Adam it says both. It's vayitzer Hashem Elokim. And it says, so why not match up the tannin to the other and give it the status? The mother should be tannin. We find a similar lashon, the way it was created to the way Adam was created. And we find by the Adam as well. The answer is Amri. The answer was said like this. Donan yitzira mitzira. We certainly make Exer Shava, Yitzira here, Yitzira there, but not Bria, comparing it to Yitzira. If ain't done a Bria, we don't compare the Tannin, which has the word Bria merely, and we can't compare it to the Adam, Yitzira. It says the Gemara, what's the difference? True, in the spelling it's different, but the meaning is more or less the same. We have a well known Brisa that we're not so particular when it comes to linking Exer Shavas. This is by the story of the home that was discovered to have a Nega. One pasuk says v'shava koyin, koyin returned to the home to inspect. Uva koyin, he came, coming, returning. Same point. Zui shiva, zui via, returning, coming. It's all the same. You can compare and make exer shava. So why not compare bria to yitzira? It's more or less the same connotation. V'oid, furthermore. Let's skip the bria to yitzira mismatch. Let's match Bria to Bria. V'oid, furthermore, Nigmar Bria mi Bria. Let's learn Bria from Bria. How? So we find by the Adam the word Bria as well. Similar to the Taninim. So the Kashu initially was, we'll compare Bria of Taninim to the Tzir of the Adam. But here, we discover that Adam also has Bria. So that makes for a good matchup. Good Shidduch. Amri. So the answer was like this. The word Vayivra, by the Adam, is needed for its own sake. The word by Viver by the yeah by the Adam is needed for its own sake. By Yitzer Lafnui. So again, by the Adam it says Vayivra and also Vayitzer, which deems one superfluous, right? So Vayivra is needed for its sake to tell you Hashem created the Adam. Vayitzer is extra, Lafnui, leaves it available to make for a very generous Gzeirah Shavah when you have extra words that enhances the Gzeirah Shavah. You're not using just words that are there already, using words which are clearly extra and intended for Gzeirah Shavah. And therefore, v'don yitzira mi'yitzira, which allows us to make a connection to behem v'chai v'oif, where it says yitzira as well. Meaning that we prefer going this route, where we encounter an extra word, and generating gzeirah shavah in that sense, over going the other route, comparing the Adam to the Tana to the other word, there's no extra words there. We're just comparing similar terms. Vayivar here to Vayivar there, but there's no lafnui, there's nothing extra. So it's not a preferred Gzeirah Shavah, we prefer going this way. V'don Yitzir Mitzir Adrab, says the one who says go this way. Look, the Adam has two words. Once it says Vayivar, once Vayitzir. Who says which is needed, which is extra? You're assuming Vayitzir is needed for itself, and Vayivar is for itself. Vayitzir is the extra one, which allows us that link to the Behemah V'chaya. Adrabba, go the other way. Vayitzer lugafei. Let Vayitzer be used for its own sake, rendering it not extra. And the word Vayivra will be the extra one. Left nuyeh, to leave it available for the link to the Tanin. V'dana b'rim b'rim. Says the Gemara. You're right. Ela Vayitzer mufin b'shnei tzad. Again, we're faced with this choice. One option is, k'zir shava Vayitzer Vayitzer, comparing the Adam to the Behemah, which is mufna mishneit stad, available on both sides. It's extra on both sides of the equation. And that's preferred over the other option of comparing Adam and Tanin, where, true, you have the extra word vayivra by the Adam, but by the Tanin there's nothing extra. So here it's available on both sides, they're only on one side, and we prefer this way. Mufna gabi Adam, the word Vayitzer is extra by the Adam and also by the Behemah. And as opposed to the Vayivra, that root has only one available. Gabi Adam Mufna. True, the word Vayivra by the Adam is Mufna, but by the Gabi Taninim, by the Taninim, it's not extra. Ain't a Mufna. It's needed to describe its creation, so it's not extra. Says the Gemara, so Vayitzer is empty and available on both sides. My Mufna Gabi Behemah. I understand how it's extra by the Adam, because by the Adam it says Vayivra already, so Vayitzer is extra. But by the Behemah, my Mufna Behemah, why is it extra there? Ilayim b'chsev is because it already says Vayas al kimas chayis ha'aretz, Hashem made the chayis ha'aretz, etc. Uksiv, and then we have the pasuk Vayitzer, Hashem lakim an adam kol chayis ha'asad. If it has Vayas, why add Vayitzer? It's extra. So we have Vayitzer extra by the Behemah and by the Adam to allow for an open-ended gzeirah shavah. Well, gabi tanin ami afnu yimufne. By the tanin as well, we have extra. Siv veiskol remes ha'adama. Actually, in that same pasuk, which begins with hayas l'kimas chayis ha'aretz, it continues veiskol remes ha'adama, all these creatures. So presumably, it covers the tanin as well. Uksiv netzavei v'lkimas ha'tanin magdolim. So it allows vayivra to be extra, to be used for the gzeirah shavah. Says the Gemara, no. Where was Tanin covered? Well, it's called Remes HaAdama. That's land creatures. We're talking about sea creatures. Tanin is a different category. Remes, the Chsiv Hasam, the Remes over there, the Abashu, it's talking about land creatures. So, bottom line, we're faced with a choice. We want to compare something to the Adam. Just like by the Adam, there's Tumas Leda. Likewise, something which is comparable to the Adam has Tumas Leda. We can either compare Behemah Chai V'Oif through Yitzira Yitzira, where it's available on both sides of the equation, it's extra, versus Tanin to the Adam, where it's Vayivra Vayivra, but it's only free and available on the side of the Adam, and not on the side of the Tanin. And therefore we take the first approach, where it's a Mufna on both sides, Mufna Mishneit Stadim. Says the Gemara, why? What's the advantage of Mufna Mishneit Stadim? Umaynaf Kemina. What's the difference if it's a link which is open on one side, open on both sides? Like this. Here comes a presentation of the rules of Gzeira Shavas. Kol Gzeira Shava she'enu mufna kalikar. Ein lemeidu mimenu. Koi to bishmol. Unless there's some free and available words, you can't just link two words. If it's not mufna, you can't learn from it. Mufna mishnah b'sad echot. Suppose it's open on one side of the equation. Okay, let it be shmol, lemeidin, ve'en neshivin kum nishmol. Solid Gzeira Shava, you can use it and you can't challenge it, even if there's room to make distinction between the two, elements of the shidduch. You can't challenge it because it has a mufna element, which is it's clearly written in the Torah. What else is the word coming from? L'rab banan, they have a different view. L'meidim n'meshivin. If it's only open ended on one side, sure you can apply it, but you can challenge it if you have something mufna mishnei tzadin. But if it's open on both sides, all agree, lemeidin v'meshivin, you learn from it without any ability to challenge it. Now, Rabbi Shmuel, we have a question. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he holds that even if it's mufna on one side, you can't challenge it. So what's the advantage of a double mufna? What's the difference between mufna mitzad echad, which cannot be challenged, mufna shnei tzadim, which also cannot be challenged? The given difference is, for preference, mufna mitzad echad, faced with a choice. One option is take the tzad echad, mufna shnei tzadim, you have another gzeira shava option with mufna on both sides, shav kina. We let go, mufna mitzad echad, the first option. Turn to the next Talmud, Yalfinan. Mufna mishnei tzadim. We adopt the one that's open-ended on both sides. Getting back to our discussion. That explains why, by behemoth, the Torah left it open on both sides, so that it could be applied without any issues. We have a yitzer by the behemoth available, likewise by the Yadam, that we don't take the other approach and compare the Tanin to the Adam, which utilizes only a single open side exerisha. Now Rashi points out that we're going back to Rabbanan here. So concluding according to their opinion, which is that we had three cases, 1, 2, and 3. The first was there's no element of Mufna. That cannot be applied at all, by the way, even though in Al Gemara it says Mishum Rabbi Shmuel over there, 4 lines on the bottom, but the Gemara said take it out, because really it's presenting an unanimous opinion. The Rabbanim agree also that if it's no mufna at all, you can't use it, you can't apply it. So that's not subject to machlekes. The question was the second and the third cases, where you have mufna mitzad echad. Rabbi Shmuel says, yeah, you can activate it, and you can't even challenge it. Rabbanim say you can activate it, but you can challenge it. Whereas the third case, which was mufna on both sides, All agree. Even Rabban agree you can't challenge it. So that explains why you prefer a double mufna. According to Rabbanon, that cannot be challenged. And here there would be room for challenge. Well, how could you compare them to the Adam? Adam has a greater ability for a tumma. We'll see later in the Gemara. So that explains why we go with the connection between Behema to Adam through Yitzira, which is a double mufna, versus comparing Tanin to Adam, which doesn't have that advantage. Here comes yet another version of this Gzeira Shava arrangement. Rav Acha Brei de Rava Masna, he quoted Mishmei, the name of Rabbi Elazar, Lukula, with a more lenient approach to things. That in that first case, where there's no mufna element at all, so according to the first version, all agree, it's a non-starter. According to this version, yeah, you can activate it, but it's given to challenges. There's no mufna element at all. Lemeidin, you can learn it. If you have a challenge, go ahead. Open on one side. Rabbi Shmuel, lemeidin mei meshivin. Rabban lemeidin meshivin. According to Rabbi Shmuel, can't challenge it. According to Rabban, in this case, you could. Then we have case number 3, mufna mishnei tzadin, open on both sides, the rakol, made in the machine, all agree, it works without any, and it's immune to any challenges. So the only difference between this version and the previous is in that first case. If it's not mufne at all, going to the first version, you can't use it. Going to the second version, you could, but you could challenge it. Just like you can challenge the next type, the one that's mufne mitzad echad, going to the rabbanon, you can use it, but you can challenge it. So what's the difference between case one and case two? In both, it's a valid zera shava that can be challenged. The rabbanon, ma'ik, what's the difference between mufne mitzad echad and mufne kal ikar? If it's open on one side, not mufne at all. Both can be applied, but are susceptible to challenge. Now, I've given a difference like this for preference. You encounter a mufna mitzad echad option or a non mufna option. And which way should I go? And there's no problem, there's no challenge to either one. None of them can be challenged. We prefer the more open one. Shafkinan she'enu mufkal ikar, we let go the one that's not available at all. Ramiram mufnam tzadechon, he's the one that has at least the one mufna element. And that explains why in our story we do the behema adam matchup over the tanan adam matchup. Because although technically both are valid legal gzeira shavis, but since this is open on both sides, and that is only open on one side, what type of challenge do we have in our story? You can challenge like this. You're comparing others to a human being regarding matters of, you know, of tumma, etc. Malo adam, oh, you know why adam triggers tumma sleida? A person has a higher degree, higher susceptibility to tumma. You know, a person can become tummy even while he's alive, as opposed to a sheretz, all those things only after death. So how can you compare others to an Adam? Adam triggers Tumas Leida on account of his birth, because of his higher, you know, relation to Tumah. But Behema, Chaya, Oif, Dagim, how can you compare? So since we have this sort of difficulty, we're going to have to go with the better Gzera Shava, i.e., the connection between Behema to the Adam, where we have a double Mufna, Vayitzer here, Vayitzer there. And that's superior to the other option of comparing the Tanin to the Adam. Vayivra, Vayivra, where it's only a Mufna Mitzar Echad on account of the Adam, not on account of the Tanin, over there it's needed for its own sake. Since we have a challenge on the table, we have to take the more clear route, the more resistant route, which is a Mufna Mishnei Stadim. That's why we compare Behemoth to Adam, hence the Aloch of Mishnah, according to our mayor. Okay? All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.